Continue our readings in Mark for our New Testament reading. It can be found on page 997 of your Bibles or inside the bulletins. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating foods with their hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honour your father and your mother,' and 'Anyone who curses his father and or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean."
Things aren't always what they may seem on the outside. Did you catch that story this week about the imposter at the Vatican? An Italian man, posing as a cardinal, dressed in clerical attire, who tried to gatecrash a closed-door meeting of cardinals. He may have looked like a cardinal, he may have dressed like a cardinal, he may have sounded like a cardinal, but a cardinal he was not. Religious people are often like that, not always what they seem on the outside. Both in the New Testament times and, I might add, in today's world. As Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in Mark 7 demonstrates, particularly in his day, he talked to some people about the concept of being clean before God. He really wanted to tell them that cleanliness before God is an inside job. Now, to be clean before God was very important to Jewish people. Just as you and I like to spruce up before we go and meet somebody who's important to us, they thought the idea of sprucing up and being clean before God was extremely important, not just coming into the presence of God any old way, but wanting to be clean before him. The problem was, though, that they thought cleanliness before God was an outside job. So to be clean before God required all sorts of external rituals. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were very good at that. They had many hundreds of requirements as to how you would please God with these extra rituals. Take the one in question here in Mark 7. Hand washing before meals. This is the one they were questioning Jesus about as to why his followers would not follow the traditions of the elders in this matter. The ritual had become not so much a matter of hygiene, but become a matter of ritual. Let me explain. The tradition required was this. Before every meal, hands were to be washed in a certain way. Firstly, the hands had to be free of grime and grit and dust. That's just to start with. Then, about an eggshell and a half full of water was to be poured over each hand from jars that contained the special purification water. The hands were held with fingers pointing upwards, and the water must run at least to the wrist. Whilst wet, each hand had to be dried with the fist of the other hand. So you would do that to dry off the hand. Then when you'd done that, you took the water again, and this time with hands pointing down, water was run over the hands, and the water had to run off at the fingertips. Then your hands would be ritually clean. And then repeat this procedure between each course. Why don't your disciples do this? They asked Jesus. I could think of a very few good reasons why my disciples would not be doing it. What a pain in the neck to have to do that. Is probably what Jesus would have wanted to say to them if he were that rude. Why don't your disciples do this? They asked Jesus. And this led him to give them some lessons on what it really means to be clean before God. It is, he tells us in this chapter, not by keeping elaborate external rituals. Not by using only scrupulously clean utensils, which, by the way, only had to be clean on the outside. And certainly not by excluding certain foods as unclean. This was revolutionary teaching by Jesus, as Mark concludes, because in one sentence, Jesus had said all foods are clean. And for centuries, they had been taught that certain foods were unclean, and now Jesus is saying, no, it's not the foods. Being clean before God is an inside job. It requires a clean heart, because it's from our hearts that uncleanness really comes, and that's what concerns God. He sees through the externals. Sexual immorality, evil thoughts, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly, said Jesus, all come from unclean hearts that need to be cleansed, renewed, and changed by God. Clean on the outside was never enough to be clean for God, for he can see straight through you and straight through me. As the little prayer at the beginning of the communion service says, before whom all hearts are open. Our hearts are open before God. He sees them. So it's no point pretending to be what we're not. I'll come back to that in a moment, but I wanted to mention the other point that stands out in this chapter is that hypocrisy is an ever-present danger. The danger of being only outwardly clean leads to hypocrisy. A person play-acting to be something, but in reality something else. Like that Italian layman who was playing at being a cardinal, but in reality was something else. Or people like my grandson Ben, who on Friday night we were in Tamworth watching him in Beauty and the Beast, the school musical. If you know the story of Beauty and the Beast, Ben played the role of Gaston. Now, there's the beauty, there's Gaston, and Gaston is the village kind of hero that most of the women would like to marry. He's bigger and taller and stronger than everybody else around him. But he loves himself to death. That's the part my grandson was playing. He's strutting around the stage and flexing his muscles and doing a couple of press-ups in front of Belle to impress her, Belle being the heroine. When he comes to Belle and he proposes marriage, and he says, "Well, Belle, what's it to be? Yes or oh, yes?" He's so in love with himself. Anyway, my grandson was such a convincing Gaston that the lady sitting alongside me, who knew that I happened to be his granddad, as this is at half time, she said to me, "Is he like that at home?" I said, "No, in fact, he's actually a very modest, quiet boy. You wouldn't know that he's around half the time, and any of his achievements you have to drag out of him." So convincing was he in the role. You see, a hypocrite is somebody who plays. That's what the word literally means, a play actor. And what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees is, you play act at being religious. You play act at being followers of God, but your hearts are a million miles away from where God wants them to be. You honour God with your lips, but your hearts are far away. People, he said, who are really religious spin doctors. We hear now about spin doctors because all our politicians make use of them. People who take the facts and see how they can twist them so that they don't really sound like they are and they make the best they can of it. Well, there were religious spin doctors. That's what the Pharisees were. They took the rules, they took the rituals, they took the commandments, and they spun them. Jesus referred to this one called Korban, in which if something were dedicated to God, it therefore couldn't be used for something else. So they'd convince certain people to dedicate some of their money to God, therefore making it unavailable to help needy people like their own parents. And Jesus said, you twist things and appears to be religious because you've dedicated it to God, but in fact, you've really denied the commandment of honouring your parents. That's what religious spin doctors are. And we have those people today in our world as we seek to twist some of the things of God for our own advantage, or we make up our own rules about what it means to follow God. We need to be very careful of being religious and spinning the things of God so that we convince ourselves that all is well between us and God. It's an ever-present danger. People who want us to think they're Christian, people who may come to church, people who may come to Bible study, may even give generously, liking some recognition for that. Yet people who are really playing at being Christian, the way they do business, the way they speak to others, the way they treat their families, the way they pay their taxes, shows God that their hearts are a long way from Him. Self-deceiving imposters, and we all need to be careful that we are not those people. Really, if you want to be God's person, Jesus really needs to be the source of your shine. If you want to shine for God, if you want to really be the light of the world that God intended us to be, then we really need to let Jesus be the source of our shine, not religion. That's the whole point of his interaction with the Pharisees. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. People should see you and then want to honour God and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." If we really want to offer a radiant witness to the world, that will never come from religious external actions. While I was in Tamworth, I caught up with a friend who's an ordained man who's just done a locum in one of our country towns. And they don't normally have evangelical ministers, but they're pretty desperate, so he got the go. But he was explaining to me what a crash course he suddenly had on all the religious externals of leading a communion service in that particular high style. But for him, much of it was play-acting at being religious. And most of the people in the congregation didn't have a clue what the priests were doing up the front, but it had been something that had been developed over centuries. And the way that you put your robes on, the way that you shook the incense, the way that you washed your hands before and after communion and that sort of thing. He said to the person who offered him the job, because the person actually got sick, so my friend became in charge, and he said, "Look, I'm happy to do some of those things on the proviso that I can preach the gospel." And the fellow said, "Okay." So my friend then spoke a few times and led a Christianity Explained, and he said, "Oh, you might get one person along at that." And he had 30 people come to Christianity Explained. But what he was describing to me initially was the religiousness. That will offer usually a fairly dull view of God to others. If you really want people to see the shine that a believer should have, we need to have hearts renewed by the Holy Spirit, hearts washed clean in rebirth by Christ, daily being renewed by the Spirit into his likeness and allowing God to work from the inside out, moulding us into the image of his Son, letting Jesus really be the King of the shine. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians and said, "We are to shine like stars in the universe, parading Christ's glory for all to see." And I like to keep in mind that picture, that little lamp you can see on the screen. When the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, we have this light of Christ within us to shine forth, but it's in little earthen vessels. If you've ever been to Israel, they often give you as a memento one of those little earthen lamps. I've got about 3 or 4 of them. They're very frail, they're fragile. In the old language, they're 2 a penny, they don't cost you much. But they are fragile, and I dropped one once when I was walking to give a kids' talk somewhere. I dropped it, and that was it, broken. Fragile earthen vessels. But for those people, before electricity, that contained the light that they needed. We have that light in our fragile earthen vessel, which is meant to shine out to the world so they will see the King of Glory. They will see Christ shining in us. We need to let Jesus be the King of that shine, not religion. Clean hearts, renewed hearts, people who want to live for Christ and whose hearts have been cleansed. So we know that the things of adultery and lewdness and bad thoughts, God is working on our hearts so that our shine is not from those external things like the Pharisees thought were so important. That's the message of this chapter this morning. Let me pray. Create in us, O God, clean hearts. Renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Help us to shine like stars in the universe with the light of Christ to all around, so that people will see our good works, see our life, and give glory to our Father in heaven, in whose name we pray. Amen.